On air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, just gone 5 o'clock. This is the main evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, it's been claimed the government is ignoring requests for additional beds at Letterkenny University Hospital. We'll hear from Deputy Charlie McConlogue and from Junior Minister Finian McGrath, who clashed in the Dáil on the issue. Ulster Bank confirms it's closing 11 branches in Northern Ireland, a number of them in the Northwest. It'll leave Castledurg and Tyrone without any banks at all. The Midlands Northwest MEP says the disunity among Tory MPs on the Brexit negotiations doesn't bode well when it comes to the chances of brokering a deal before the end of the year. And Derry's historic core is named the best place in Northern Ireland in a competition organised by town planners. Later in the bulletin, Oisin is here with the sports news. That's at around 5:15. It's been claimed that the government is ignoring requests for additional beds at Letterkenny University Hospital. A proposal has been submitted to SELTA for an additional 20 beds, raising capacity at the hospital from 330 to 350. The €1.8 million funding request would also include an extra 14 staff nurses and other ancillary and support staff. However, Donegal Deputy Charlie McConlogue told Junior Minister Finian McGrath in the Dáil that the issue isn't getting the attention it deserves.
Minister, the HSE and the government has this proposal since last June. We're in the middle of the winter now, and you're telling us it's going to be assessed and considered with due process. You then go on to tell us, I wish to acknowledge the distress the long wait times in AD and emergency departments cause for patients. Well, Minister, we don't want you here in the Dáil just to tell us you acknowledge people's distress. We want the government to deal with it and to try and ensure that they're not distressed.
Well, today there were 16 patients awaiting admission at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning. None of them on emergency department trolleys, all of them in wards or overflow areas. When responding to Deputy McConlogue, Minister Finian McGrath said he would brief Minister Simon Harris on the proposal, but said it would be inaccurate to say nothing is being done.
Of course, I'll bring your strong message back to Minister Simon Harris in relation to Letterkenny Hospital. But can I also agree with you in relation to and compliment the staff, because the patient experience is above the national average. In other words, there's a lot of examples of good practice there. But it would be misleading to say that nothing is happening. There's an awful lot happening. Projects underway and planned include a CCU, a haematology oncology ward restoration upgrade, a radiology and interventional suite restoration upgrade, mortuary restoration upgrade, physiotherapy and acupuncture departments restoration upgrade. But on the issue of the people on trolleys, of course it's unacceptable to have people on trolleys, and that will be focus of our extra spending in 2018. There's 90 million extra being provided to deal with these particular issues. And can I say that I will bring back your concerns to Minister Harris in relation to the 20 beds, and also your point about the 1.8 million and what's happening behind the scenes.
Junior Minister Finian McGrath. Ulster Bank has confirmed it's closing 11 branches in Northern Ireland, a number of them in the Northwest. They are Dungiven and Raperstown in County Derry, Irvinestown in County Fermanagh, Stewartstown and Castledurg in County Tyrone. West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossland says this now means Castledurg will have no bank at all. He's calling on people to protest against the closure. He says after the previous closure of AIB Bank and Bank of Ireland, this move toward online banking by Ulster Bank is further isolating rural communities.
I can understand what these banks are expecting people to do. And yes, in an ideal world, we'd have great infrastructure in terms of broadband, but we don't have that, particularly in parts of Castledurg where there's no access to broadband services whatsoever. And where there is, it's very, very weak. People cannot be expected to travel into towns such as Omonstraban to do that banking. And even at that, I think it's now high time we asked questions about the certainty of the future of the branches, even within major towns such as Strabane and Omagh. I have lost all faith in the banking sector. I've lost all faith in Ulster Bank, the Bank of Ireland and in Danske Bank. They're abandoning these communities without any proper justification whatsoever. With the closure of the two other branches in Castledurg, a lot of people transferred their accounts to Ulster Bank with the understanding that their account would be safe there and that that institution would remain there. That bank has been busier than it's ever been before, and there's no questions around that. This is about money. Those banks were not costing any particular money. They certainly weren't running at a loss, and that was confirmed at the closure of the Bank of Ireland when I challenged the Chief Executive of the Bank of Ireland in relation to their branch in Castledaird. He did confirm they weren't running at a loss, simply that they are now following a new agenda in relation to online banking and how popular that's become. It has become popular, but mainly amongst a younger generation. There's older generations. My own late grandfather, who died this year, would have went to the bank 3-4 times a week in person. He loved that personal interaction, and that is going to be a major, major loss to a community such as Castledaird. And I would say to people out there listening today, they shouldn't take this lying down.
And that was MLA Daniel McCrossan. A Sinn Féin delegation met with senior police officers in Derry this morning to discuss a spate of recent shootings across the city. The delegation included MP Alicia McCallion and MLA Raymond McCartney. Speaking after the meeting, Mr McCartney, the party's justice spokesperson, reiterated a call for the PSNI to get to grips with armed gangs. He said he made it clear to the PSNI that they must tell the public exactly what they're doing about these incidents, and that response, he says, needs to go beyond giving stock answers. A Midlands North West MEP says the disunity against among Tory MPs on the Brexit negotiations doesn't bode well when it comes to the chances of brokering a deal before the end of the year. Parliament Vice President Mairead McGuinness says while Theresa May faces a revolt from some of her MPs over her efforts to set a Brexit deal for March 2019, the rest of the EU will stand strong on the need for any deal to be the right one. Ms McGuinness says the remaining 27 EU countries remain united.
The unity of the 27 is still very strong, even though there may be an attempt by the UK side to talk to different countries and to try and break that unity. I don't see that happening at the moment because there's far too much at stake. And I think it's also based on the fact that the UK has decided to leave, and that that is a decision which impacts on the UK. Clearly, we have to work out an arrangement with them, but it doesn't mean that Europe has to change fundamentally to accommodate the decision of the United Kingdom.
Derry's historic core has been named the best place in Northern Ireland in a competition organised by the Royal Town Planning Institute. The competition acknowledges the places protected, planned or improved by town planners for communities. Nearly 4,000 people voted on a shortlist of 10 places. Derry's Guildhall Square, Peacebridge and Ebrington emerged as the most popular. Rathlin Island was second and Armagh City Centre third. The award was accepted this morning by Deputy Mayor John Boyle. He says the impact of the Peace Bridge on the city has been tremendous.
In particular, this award reflects the positive impact that the Peace Bridge in Ebrington have had on the lives of people in the city and district because it was on that particular development that the RTPA were focusing. You know, I mean, these are very, very significant regenerative projects that we're involved in, and obviously they provide for a great opportunity for further investment and job creation in the city and district.
And this is still very much a work in progress. Ebrington, great work being done there and has been done there over the past 4 years or so since the City of Culture, but by no means finished, and still quite a lot to do in terms of taking Ebrington to its full potential.
Yes, of course. Ebrington does provide us with further and greater opportunities. Yes, I certainly do feel that obviously it has taken longer than it should have taken, but the City and District Council will be taking over control of the Ebrington project early next year, and I certainly personally see it as something that we need to be pushing on with. I mean, there are plans for Ebrington. The City and District Council have a plan to locate a new maritime museum. And certainly that's the working title in the Ebrington Square area. We also have seen plans by private developers for a distillery, the Quiet Man Distillery in Ebrington Square. And of course, I think there are advanced plans as well for the location of a hotel on the Clock Tower building.
And that was the Deputy Mayor of Derry, Councillor John Boyle. Letterkenny Chamber is urging businesses in the town to attend a meeting tonight to discuss planned works, including the proposed Irish Waterworks and safety works on the four-lane stretch between the Polestar and Dry Arch roundabouts. The Chamber's Infrastructure Committee will brief the meeting on progress to date and is also urging businesses to make their views known. The meeting takes place this evening at the Radisson Hotel at 8 o'clock. Around 150,000 euro worth of cannabis plants have been recovered at the scene of a fatal explosion in County Louth. Gardaí were investigating the property where an apparent boiler explosion killed a young man and injured two others. All three are Lithuanian nationals. During investigations, Gardaí found what's been described as an elaborate cannabis grow house at the back of the property. Superintendent Andrew Waters says, as of yet, the plant isn't being directly linked to the explosion.
There is no connection as yet in relation to the cannabis growing plant at the back of the house. It's at the very back of the grounds of the house. There's no connection has been established yet between the cannabis cultivation plant and the explosion in the house. But as I said, a full investigation is ongoing at the moment, and you know, further developments will be reported in that regard.
Irish Water has just completed a 0.5 million euro investment in the Rathmullen Water Treatment Plant, which the utility says will ensure improved water quality and security of supply for local customers. As part of the project, Irish Water constructed what they described as a multi-flow clarifier, sludge storage facility and new chemical storage and associated works. With more details, here's Catherine Gaffney.
The works were completed over a 10-week period by Viola and assisted by Donegal County Council on behalf of Irish Water. The Rathmullen supply is on the Environmental Protection Agency's remedial action list for high levels of THMs, and these works were undertaken to reduce the risk posed by THMs for these customers. The current water treatment plant in Rathmullen is supplying 50% of the customers in Rathmullen, and the other 50% are supplied via an adjacent supply at Milford Water Treatment Plant. The proposed solution was to provide a packaged treatment plant at the Rathmullen supply to alleviate the reliance on the Milford supply. Commenting, Irish Water's capital programme lead Martin Temple said these important works for the Rathmullen water treatment plant have just been completed, and customers in the area are now being supplied with an improved water quality where the risk from THMs has been reduced.
The Society of St Vincent de Paul expects to get 50,000 calls this winter. The charity is launching its annual Christmas appeal this afternoon. It says despite improvements in the economy, some people have been left behind. With more details, here's Julia Gash.
In the run-up to Christmas, the 6 to 8 weeks, we're probably looking at in and around 50,000 calls from individuals and families as well.
National Secretary with the St Vincent de Paul, Andy Heffernan, on a busy few weeks facing the charity. It's launching its annual appeal this afternoon and would welcome donations from cash to food to toys and clothes. Andy Heffernan says some callers have suffered what seems like a small setback that can have major implications.
It could be the small thing like the cooker going wrong, like it could be an expense associated with a health issue. It can be school costs, it can be voluntary contributions, etc. But when you're on a tight budget, it's the smallest little thing can knock you out of kilter in that regard.
The Society says it's working hard to help keep people out of long-term poverty, especially in terms of educational supports. Andy says calls are treated in the strictest of confidence and that they try to help anyone from anywhere.
Just because you're from a particular class, a particular professional class, a particular background, etc., doesn't mean you don't fall into difficulties, and certainly we would see ourselves there to support everyone.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Check out the new O'Neill's Donegal Slaney range in store or online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
17 minutes past 5 o'clock. We say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with Gaelic Games and Kilcar's Mark McHugh has been named the Donegal Senior Club Championship Player of the Year and will receive the 2017 Seamus McGeady Award. Mark has had an outstanding season, playing a vital role from midfield, leading his side to a first championship title in 24 years. Mark will be presented with the award at the annual Donegal GA County Banquet this coming Saturday night in the Mount Errigal Hotel in Letterkenny. Well, on to colleges. Gaelic Games action, and there was defeat today for the Letterkenny Institute of Technology as the LYT boys lost out in the semi-final of Division 2 of the league, going down against the Garda College by 8 points. It finished a 3-10. To 1-11 the final score. The sides were level with 7 minutes to go in the game, but the Garda College then scored 2 goals and 2 points in those closing minutes to book their place in the final. Dara Black got the goal today for the LYAT, while Michael Langan, Enda McCormick and John Campbell were also on the score sheet, but they couldn't get the result to send them through to the decider. In other colleges action today, there was joy for the LYAT men's soccer side as they made good on their promise to avenge last weekend's defeat at the hands of IT Tala in Dublin in the Cup. Today the two sides met at the Port Road campus, and it was the Letterkenny side which took victory in the Division 1 League clash, winning out by 4 4-3. Cody Brogan, Kieran Kelly, Orr McMacken and Ryan Connolly got the goals, and that was enough to secure the 3 points for the LYIT. On the badminton front, the 7-strong team from the LYIT travelled to DKIT today, where after winning their first game of the afternoon, they were defeated narrowly, 21-19 in the final game of a 3, which was won by the hosts Dundalk. In basketball, there was defeat today for the Letterkenny side as well, going down against Griffin College of Dublin. This was the ladies LYIT basketball side. It finished 95-76 at the Aer Lingus Sports Complex today. Top scorer for Letterkenny was Mackenzie Burrub with 34 points, while Faith Walsh also knocked up 20 points today as well. To soccer now. Sligo Rovers have confirmed the signing of winger Keelan McAleer from Finn Harps. McAleer is the first new signing made by Sligo boss Jared Little for the squad for next season. 24-year-old McAleer told the Sligo club website that he's delighted to be here. When the approach was made by Sligo, I was really happy because it has everything that I want. Now I'm here, I want to kick on and make my mark here. Cross-channel Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp missed training today as he was admitted to hospital after feeling ill. The club say he has been assessed today and is to be released this evening. However, a statement says Klopp may be subject to further checkups in the coming days. James McLean has assured Republic of Ireland fans that the players are hurting just as much as they are. The West Brom winger has posted a message on Instagram following last night's bitterly disappointing World Cup playoff defeat to Denmark. McLean admits the Irish team's performance was not good enough, and he has hit out at those who he claims have stuck the boot in to kick players and staff when they are down. To rugby, it's France and not Ireland that will host the 2023 World Cup. Ireland were a distant third in today's final vote, which saw the French beat South Africa by 24 votes to 15 in the second round of voting. The vote means the World Rugby Council ignored the recommendation for South Africa to host the tournament. The first round saw Ireland win just 8 votes, which meant of the home nations, only England voted for the Irish bid. Ambassador Brian O'Driscoll was expecting more support.
There was potential for 12 or 13. Not everyone was committing to us or otherwise, but you know, people that we felt might be 50-50 didn't go with us, and we'll have to go back and ask a few questions as to why that was the case. And I suppose we'll see a bit more over the next 2 weeks when I think we're going to see more column inches about the whole thing.
On to motorsport, and the finalists for the Billy Coleman Young Rally Driver of the Year Award have been announced, and it includes 2 drivers from the Northwest. Kevin Eaves from Pettigo in County Donegal, age 26, and is the Irish Tarmac Rally Modified Champion, is one of the 3. Winner of the Junior British Rally Championship and winner of the Junior section on the Ypres Rally in Belgium, Callum Devine from Clonmel in County Derry, is also among the 3. The 3rd nominee is John Trainer from Scotstown in County Monaghan, who finished 2nd overall in the Junior National Rally Championship and 2nd in the Junior National Border Championship. The winner of the Billy Coleman Young Rally Driver of the Year Award will be announced on Tuesday, the 5th of December. Back to Gaelic Games, and Dennis Bastic has announced his retirement from inter-county football. The midfielder had to wait until 2009 for his championship debut, but since then he helped Dublin win 5 All-Ireland titles. Temple Oak Street man also won 11 Leinster titles, excuse me, and 4 national leagues. Former Galway hurling manager Anthony Cunningham has been confirmed as part of Pat Gilroy's backroom team with the Dublin Hurlers. He'll be joined by Mickey Whelan and Paddy O'Donoghue. The latter pair both served as selectors under Gilroy when he was in charge of the Dublin Footballers. Another result in from schools action today, McLaren Cup. It was the 2nd game in the group for St Eunan's. They ran out easy winners against Roe Valley. 5 goals and 20 points to 2 goals and 1 point was the final score, as St Eunan's make it back-to-back wins now in the competition there. In cycling, the UK anti-doping agency has found insufficient evidence to charge 5-time Olympic gold medalist Bradley Wiggins over a mystery package that was delivered to him at a race in the Tour de France in 2011. It follows the conclusion of a 14-month investigation. Team Sky doctors claim the substance was a legal decongestant. And finally, in cricket, Ireland will warm up for the World Cup qualifiers with 3 one-day internationals against Afghanistan next month. The games will be day and night fixtures on the 5th, the 7th and the 10th of December, all taking place in Shahar. The only one-day matches follow Ireland's four-day Intercontinental Cup match with Scotland in Dubai on November 29th. That is it, Donald. Just to remind our listeners, our GAA programme will be coming up later tonight as Tom Comack talks all things GAA as from 8:30. And I'll be back with the next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news.
Thanks, Oisin. It's been claimed that Donegal County Council can't upgrade its main chamber because its priorities lie with addressing the Inishowen floods. There have been ongoing concerns that the chamber in its current form isn't fit for purpose, with inadequate seating for councillors and the general public. Councillor Paul Canning believes an interim solution could be a live broadcast of meetings in the old chamber that people could view.
Priority must be given to the Inishowen flooding at the outset. In relation to the chamber, the chamber that we are in at the minute is not fit for purpose. It needs to be upgraded. Now, the extent of that upgrading, I think the old chamber that was used prior to this council should be upgraded and made fit for purpose.
That was Councillor Paul Canning there. The Cathaoirleach of the Inishowen Municipal District has expressed shock at the amount of people not registered to vote. It follows a previous call by Councillor Jack Murray earlier this month for people to get themselves on the electoral register ahead of the November 25th deadline. He's warning the process becomes much more difficult once the deadline passes.
Over the last couple of weeks, I've been asking people to get registered to vote, particularly young people, and I've been stunned by the amount that aren't registered to vote or weren't aware that they weren't registered to vote. I've registered, I'd say, 50 or 60 people just in the last week alone to get registered to vote, so it's clearly a problem that's people confined just to the south of Inishowen there.
And finally, in international news, to Zimbabwe, where it has been denied by the military that they're taking over the country. They insist President Robert Mugabe is safe and sound. Gunfire and explosions have been heard as defence forces roll into the capital, Harare. State TV and radio stations have been taken over. The finance minister is reported to have been arrested, but Army spokesman Major General S.B. Moyo says Robert Mugabe very much remains in power.
We are only targeting criminals around him who are committing crimes that are causing social and economic suffering in the country in order to bring them to justice.
Looking at the weather forecast for this evening, it'll stay cloudy and mostly dry into this evening with just some patches of drizzle. Mist and fog may linger on hills and in coastal areas. It'll be cloudy at first tonight, but a band of persistent rain will make its way across the area overnight. It'll clear around sunrise in lowest temperatures of 4 to 6 degrees Celsius. Fresh and gusty southwest to westerly winds. Tomorrow, bright with sunny spells and isolated showers. Highest temperatures tomorrow, 9 or 10 degrees Celsius in mostly moderate westerly winds. The main story is in brief this evening. It's been claimed the government is ignoring requests for additional beds at Letterkenny University Hospital. A proposal has been submitted for 20 additional beds. The Junior Minister Finian McGrath has promised to brief Health Minister Simon Harris on the proposal. However, he said it would be inaccurate to suggest that nothing is being done at Letterkenny Hospital. Ulster Bank has confirmed it's closing 11 branches in Northern Ireland, a number of them in the Northwest, Dungiven, Raperstown, Irvinestown, Stewartstown and Castlederg. It now leaves Castlederg without any bank branches at all. As you Sinn Féin delegation has met with senior police officers in Derry today to discuss a spate of recent shootings across the city. A Midlands Northwest MEP says disunity among Tory MPs on the Brexit negotiations mean it's less likely a deal can be struck, and Derry's historic core is named the best place in Northern Ireland. We're back with news again at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Wednesday, 15th of November. The death has taken place at Antrim Area Hospital of Jim Doherty, Castle Dawson, County Derry, and formerly of Inch Island. His remains are reposing at his daughter Tracy Doherty's residence at Ardbeathan, St Johnson. Requiem Mass in Our Lady of Lure Church, Inch Island, on Friday morning at 11 o'clock. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the Irish Heart Foundation, care of Charlie McLafferty, Funeral Director, Church Hill and Letterkenny. The death has taken place at his home of Neil McCormick, Middletown, Derry Beg. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass in St Mary's Chapel, Derry Beg, on Friday morning at 11 o'clock. Burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. Rosary nightly at 9 o'clock, with house private after the rosary until 10 a.m. Family Flowers only pleas donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice care of any family member or Kieran Rorty, funeral director. The death has taken place in Glasgow of Joe McHugh, Joe Biddy Jack, Glasgow, and formerly of Bryn Lack. His remains will be removed to St. Columbkill Church, Knock Fulla, tomorrow evening to arrive at approximately 4:45, reposing overnight. Funeral mass on Friday morning at 11 o'clock, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Inquiries please to Kieran Rorty, funeral director. The death has taken place at his home of Philip Lynch, Castletown, St. Johnson. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:15 for Requiem Mass in St. Bathan's Church, St. Johnson at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Friends of Lifford Hospital, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place at Remilton Nursing Unit of Dan Curran, Clondevadog, Church Hill. Removal from Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, this evening at 6 o'clock. Arriving at St. Columbkill's Church, Glendowen, for 6:30, reposing overnight. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11, followed by burial in Garden Cemetery. And the death has occurred of Desi Kelly, 4 Heather Drive, Calhame, Mountaintop, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 10 in St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny. Interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Con MacDaid and Sons, funeral directors.